9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.
Hey, 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 guys, and welcome to another episode of Life After Life with me, Sandy Byrne. So today I have joining me all the way from St. Louis in the United States, or via Munich, because she's originally from Munich in Germany. I'd like to welcome Sylvie Sterling to Life After Life. Welcome, Sylvie, and thank you for joining us here today.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm really, really happy to be here.
And we had a false start because we couldn't connect the last time we had scheduled. And I'm so excited to talk to Sylvie because, you know, people that listen know that I am an animal lover and I've had dogs and cats. And I have two cats at the moment. And Sylvie is a cat whisperer. So it's almost like I can feel people's ears perking up when I say that. OK, because we all want to know what's going on behind, you know, the scenes in our cats' heads, because, you know, they're just their own kind of beings. So we'll get into that in a minute. But Sylvie, if it's okay with you to ask you a personal question first, because I do like to talk to people about their life before they worked with spirituality, because I like people to know that you and I weren't born working with spirit. So do you mind telling us, you know, what your background is and how you got into working with cats?
Of course, yeah. So I was originally, I've always loved cats. I've always been an animal lover like you. I grew up with cats. I've always loved cats. I had that fascination. So my family originally thought I would do something with cats when I grow up, right? Or with animals. That was thought I would have a profession that has to do with animals. But I took a completely different turn. I did something. I went into a desk job. I eventually got into marketing and I became a movie executive. So I worked in the movie industry for 20 plus years, and I worked for the Hollywood movie companies, and it was great and I loved it, and I was just so into the movie stuff and everything. But then after 20 years, it kind of got to the point where, you know, you get into your 40s and you say there's got to be something else to life than just movies, or just, you know, just one day at a time. So I was starting to look for my purpose. That was in my beginning 40s, and it didn't really take me long to know that I wanted to work with cats. The cats just, they kept giving me these messages, and I kept these cats kept showing up in my life. So I said I wanted to work with cats, and I said my mission is to make this a better world for cats. And I started out very innocently. I came from here still. I came from the head still. I studied cat psychology and took all these classes, and I started to see clients. But it was from here. It just didn't fulfill me. There was just something missing. I said, that can't be it to tell people where to put the scratch post or where to put the litter box. It just seemed, as you said, there's so much more to cats than what the eye meets. So then what happened was that I had this whole spiritual awakening, and energy healing came into my life, energy healing literally came to me, and I started to do it, and I said, oh my God, this works, and I'm a natural healer, and the cats responded really well to it. So I did that, and then animal communication came into my life, and that really opened up a whole new world to me, and the cats started to talk to me, and I had this spiritual awakening where a cat channeled a message through to me, which came completely out of the blue from my soul family. And they said to go out and to tell people about the cat's purpose, and that cats come into our lives to help us find and follow our purpose. And it's all about purpose. And that's what I was supposed to put out in the world, that cats have a purpose and they help us with our purpose. And that was the true breakthrough, and everything just changed after that. And I spoke to all these cats. I did all these sessions with cats, and they all confirmed. They said, yes, we're here with a purpose. Please tell our people, because people don't know that cats have this beautiful life purpose. So it became my purpose basically to talk about purpose and tell people how they're connected with their cats and how cats are these beautiful, wonderful, huge, divine beings, and they're here to help us on our life path.
Wow, I love that. And there's so much to unfold in all of that. And, you know, I if you're watching on video, I'm smiling. When Sylvie said that her parents wanted her to work with animals, I'm sure they thought maybe you'd be a veterinary surgeon or a veterinary nurse or something. I'm sure they weren't thinking of, you know, cat communicator. But, you know, I mean, the ability that takes to communicate with cats. So can you talk us through that first? That first instance, because I think you were in Miami visiting your sister-in-law at the time, is that right?
Yes.
Can you tell us what happened?
Mm-hmm. So what happened was that I was kind of bathing in spiritual energies. I've been on a spiritual path for a while, but I wasn't fully open yet. And I was visiting my sister-in-law, and she's very spiritual. She's been on that path for 30 plus years, and she has a cat, and I was bathing in their energies for the entire weekend. And then when I was leaving, I was packing my bags. I was packing my suitcase to go back to Europe. And her cat jumped on top of the suitcase. And first, I thought it was very innocent. Oh, that's so cute. Like we think, right? It's so cute. The cat's helping me pack. So cute. Pet her on the back. But then she kept staring at me, the cat, and she just Mystique. And she kept looking at me, and she kept, her name is Mystique. So that alone tells you that she's very spiritual, right?
Yes.
So Mystique kept looking at me, and I said, I think she wants to say something. And I wasn't really very good at animal communication at the time. I had just started to dabble with it. But I said, okay, fine, I'll sit down. I tune in, close my eyes. And I tuned into Mystique, and this most amazing channeling came through. And it wasn't Mystique talking. She was channeling a message from my soul family, from my star family. And they introduced themselves to me. They said I was a star seed in a human body, and I was here with this mission. And my mission was to tell people about the big mission that cats have on this planet. So it was a really long channeling, but the essence is really that cats are divine beings. Cats are here with a mission. Cats are here with a purpose. And tell people to go out and talk about people's purpose, because it's important and because it matters and because people need to wake up to who they truly are.
100%. Now, can you explain to us, if you don't mind, what is a star seed? Because I know you mentioned that there, that you're a star seed. Mm-hmm.
So the star seeds here on Earth are the souls that are not originally born here on this planet, but they come from different star systems. They come from Sirius, they come from Lyra, they come from the Pleiades, and they are humanoid, but they're just from somewhere else, and they come here to Earth to help. My guides always say to help this planet come to fruition, to this awakening that's going on Earth right now. And the star seeds are specifically here because they've done it before in other star systems, and they are here to help the planet to go to the next level of consciousness.
I heard Dolores Cannon talk about that in the past. Yes. So that's the same idea. Okay, so it's just a different terminology around it. So I beg your pardon. Okay, so let's start by talking specifically about cats, okay? And I have some questions that I've written down here, okay? So, I know that you've written down or that you've said in the past that people feel heartbroken and guilty about their pets, and that sometimes we feel that we've made a mistake in letting them go. Okay, yes. So can you talk us through that, about maybe the crossing over of, I don't know, does it just... You know, is that just for cats, or is it for all animals? And do they view it as us letting them go without fighting for them?
Mm-hmm. So I've worked with many cats in their last hours, on their last days, or after they crossed over. So it's the same for all animals, because animals have a different view on crossing over. I mean, nobody wants to die, right? An animal will fight to the to the last minute to not die. But at the end of the day, they have a better understanding of it's really just going to a different level of consciousness. They know it's not the end. Like we humans, we have all this brainy stuff going on. We think, oh my God, what happens afterwards? And the animals are more connected. So they are they're connected to that sea of consciousness, they call it. So they know that it's part of life. They know death is part of life. So that being said, in their last moments, they are usually ready to go, and they never want their humans to be guilty. They always say afterwards, they always say everything happened exactly how it needed to happen. So sometimes they are okay with us helping them cross over. You know, when we take them to the vet and we feel they're in pain or they're struggling or they're not breathing, they can't breathe anymore. And those cats usually say it was okay. It needed to happen that way. And then others, they prefer to cross over naturally, like us humans, where they choose the time of death. But then again, even the ones that we took to the vet and we helped them cross over, even they said it needed to happen that way. And my soul kind of prompted you to take me to the vet. So they're always okay with our decision, always. And I've worked with so many really upset, distraught, guilty feeling cat parents, cat lovers. They said, I don't know whether it was right. And they always tell me from the other side, it was exactly the way it needed to happen. So please let go of the guilt, let go of the blame, let go of the, I should have noticed it earlier. I should have maybe spoken to another vet. I should have taken a different medication. I should have done this. I should have done that. They always say, let go. It needed to happen that way. And it's just so important to put this out there because so many people feel so guilty.
Yeah, and we do. And like I grew up, like I live in the countryside in Ireland, okay? I've always lived in the countryside in Ireland. And, you know, when cats are ready to die, when they know their end is coming, they will go off and die. Mm-hmm. You know, they will go somewhere and they'll die. And, you know, we've always had to kind of maybe go looking for them or whatever, you know, to bury them or whatever. And, you know, so that really resonates with what you're saying. They know the end is coming, whether they go off somewhere and die in pain or we take them to the vet and we help them along, you know. So that kind of really makes sense that they know that it's coming. Okay. And you also talk a lot about how they're still around for us on the other side. And I have to say, if you don't mind me just saying that, like we've had lots of cats over the years. And I lost a cat a few years ago that she was 13 when she passed. And I can still feel her because every single morning at 2 a.m. she used to jump on the bed and she'd know that there was no point in trying to wake me up. She'd go up and she'd touch her paw off my husband's face to wake him up to let her out. And I can still to this day feel her jumping on the bed. So I know that they're around. Mm-hmm. But can you tell us, you know, why are they around for us still, you know, in spirit, if you like?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So they have soul contracts with us. They come to us, as I said, they come to us to help us on our life path, and they come for a certain period of time because they don't have the same lifespan that we have. But their service doesn't end after they cross over. And they literally, they are not gone. They cross over into a different dimension. They've showed me what it's like to pass, to cross over. It's basically what we see as they're leaving is, or what we see as they're falling asleep, is literally waking up, because their eyes might close, but then everything opens up. They go there, they leave their body and they go into this, and there's light and there's colors, and all of a sudden that's the real world, and what we see as the real world all of a sudden is gray, and you know, it's behind the veil. So they say they cross over into the real world, and that means that they're still here for us. After they cross over, typically the soul stay, and there's different dimensions that a soul can be in. So in the beginning, they're very close to us. That is why in the first few weeks or 2 weeks or 3 days or however long it takes, they stay around us at a very low dimension, very close to us. So we still have the feeling we can almost feel them. We feel them next to us. We can, you know, we can feel their presence. And they do that so that because we're heartbroken, so that we can get to terms with the fact that they are not here anymore. They stay close, so we feel them. And then after a while, they kind of go higher up in dimensions. They leave further and further when they feel we're ready that they can leave us. But that being said, many cats, they stay around us for, you know, for years and years to come. And I feel your cat like sitting on your shoulder here. I don't know why, the shoulder here.
She always did.
Yeah, so I see her sitting on your right shoulder. I don't know why I see black cat. I see her as black, but she could have been black in an earlier incarnation. So they come back to us in new incarnations. Sometimes they reincarnate in our lifetime. Sometimes they come back in, you know, from prior lifetimes. But they have a job with us, and they stay around, and they say, they hold the energies around us. They can be part of our spirit team, of our spirit guides, but mainly they hold the energies around us, and they say they are stronger on the other side because they're not confined to a small cat body. Their soul is much bigger. And especially the highly evolved souls, they are stronger when they're on the other side, and they hold the energies around us. They will guide us. They will feed us information, whatever it is that we need. So I feel your cat is sitting right now, sitting on your right shoulder.
And I think that's amazing. And just to confirm it for those that are listening, my cat was black. She was black. She was a girl. And she had been kicked by a horse when she was about a year old. So she lost her front right paw. So she was only had three legs. And because she'd lost that paw, she used to sit on my right shoulder with her left paw wrapped around my neck. So that's why you're picking her up on my right shoulder. That's exactly where she always used to sit. And a
big I love that.
Her left paw. Yeah. Oh, that, and that's so nice for me to know that that's where she is, you know, because that's where she always was. Mm-hmm. In even towards the end of her life, she lost her hearing. So she used to be scared of everything because she couldn't hear. That's one of their main senses. So she used to hold on to me like a little monkey, you know. I used to go around with her hanging out of my shoulder. So that's so lovely. And so you talk about them being there for our soul plan, that they're almost like, I suppose, a support for us, if that would be fair to say, okay? But you also talk about them reincarnating and returning to us. Now, this is something that a lot of people ask me about, and it's not my area of expertise, so now we have an expert here. Do our animals reincarnate and return to us?
Yes, they do. Not all of them do, obviously, otherwise we would have, you know, animals galore around us. But they do come back. Some come back, many come back, especially the ones you have this really close bond to. This really, when you have this really, like you were just describing your cat that always sat here. So when you have a really super close bond and they are not finished with their job with you, they will come back. And sometimes they can come back after years. Sometimes they come back after 20 years. I mean, we can put it out there. We can ask our guides. We can ask our higher self or the cat, please come back to me. Please send them back. But we never really know. They come back when we need them. So I always say you always have the right cat in your life at whatever stage of evolution, development you are. So sometimes when you have a cat for a long time, the cat was a healer for you maybe for 15 years or so, and then the cat crosses over because you needed a healer cat in that part of your life. But maybe now you're more evolved and now you need a spiritual advisor. So you might get a different cat who's a spiritual advisor. Or you might need a mirror cat for, and I'm talking about my cat archetypes here for the cat purposes. Or you might have a mirror cat in your life because you need a cat to reflect your own, you know, whatever unresolved life topics you have back at you. So you always get the cat that you need. And then maybe when you're ready for your healer cat, he will come back in a new incarnation. And the way you know is when you know, or when people ask you that question is because they have a feeling that, let's say, Fluffy that they have now is so close to, you know, Max in the prior, let's say, cat of their childhood. And when you have that feeling, then you're usually right, because you don't have that feeling out of nowhere. And if even the uninitiated people who'd never really heard that concept before, if they feel that Fluffy is Max, and I'm so sure that this is the same cat, it's because he is.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Can I just go a little bit further with that? Because, and I don't know, as I say, I'm not an expert on these things, but I did meet a lady not too long ago who had felt that her brother was reincarnated in a pet. Okay, is that possible? I mean, do they always come back to us as pets, or can we have other family members that come back to us as pets, or pets that come back to us as family members? Like, do they kind of swap species, if you like?
So they do and they don't. I'm just talking from my experience, and I've done hundreds and thousands of sessions with cats and humans. So my experience, a cat is a cat is a cat is a cat. A dog is a dog is a dog. a horse is a horse, you know, so there are horse souls, there are cat souls, there are dog souls, there is human souls or starseed souls. And usually you stay with your species. However, there are crossovers between cats and dogs and horses. I've seen actually many, many cats in our lives used to be horses in a prior life with us. Because horses in the centuries ago, horses were so close to us. We all had horses at the time, right? Not everybody had a cat, but everybody had a horse. Because there were a means of transportation. So they come back in whatever animal we need in that lifetime. So sometimes a cat soul comes back as a dog soul because maybe there's cat allergies in the family and they can have a cat in their part of their life. So the cat will come back as a dog, but the dog might act like a cat. I had a dog in my childhood and he acted like a cat. And people said, oh my God, what's wrong with this? You know, what's not what's wrong, but what's with this dog? The dog cleaned himself like it was a German shepherd, a really large dog. And he behaved like a cat. He would clean himself like a cat for hours on end. Dogs don't do that. He would clean himself like a cat like this here, you know, and for hours on end, three, four times a day, would clean himself excessively. He would jump the fence and go out and take his walk and come back like a cat. He did not behave like a dog. And people, even, you know, people say, what's with this dog? He's a cat, right? And he passed away, you know, when his time came. And many, many years later, when I started to do animal communication, he started to communicate with me and he showed me he's really a cat. And he couldn't be a cat in my life at the time because my mom had a cat allergy. Oh. So he came as a dog. And he came back to me now, and now he's with me right now, and he is a cat. He is finally in his true form, but he is still the same joyful, playful character that he was back then. I see all the traits that he had as a big German shepherd. I see it in him now. So he is, you know, he's the dog from my childhood, and it's just a little story of how, yes, they come back as dogs and cats, but they are truly cat souls or dog souls. And just real quick on the humans, I have not seen a human incarnate as a cat or the other way around. That being said, I mean, it might happen. I don't think it's frequent. I'm pretty sure I would have seen it if I had seen a cat or a dog, you know, or a human swap bodies. I'm sure I would have seen it by now. I have not seen it, but I never say never. It might happen, but it's not a frequent thing. And usually when just to make this point, usually when people feel that there might have been a cat in their former life, because some people say, I must have been a cat, and I feel like a cat, I must have been a cat in my former life, they are most likely what I call a feline humanoid starseed. In other star systems, there's feline humanoid, you know, kind of hybrids. So there might have been somewhere on a different planet where like Avatar, those blue beings in Avatar, right, they're humanoid, but they have cat features.
Yes.
So there might have been somebody like this, and that's why they feel they were a cat in the prior lifetime.
I think it's just because I'm lazy. I'd love to just lie on the bed in the sunshine all day and clean myself like a cat. That would be so cool. So tell me, like, who comes to you? Okay, why would people come to you? I mean, would it be an issue with their cat? Would there be, you know, what would be the purpose of someone coming to visit you?
Mm-hmm. So people usually come when they have problems with their cat, or in the beginning they used to have problems with their cat, the typical cat problems. Cats fight, they don't get along, cat meows too much, the cat is restless, the cat, you know, pees outside the litter box, just usually the common cat problems. And well, now people come because they have more spiritual questions about cats. They want to understand their cat's behavior, but they also want to understand their cat's role. They want to understand more about this mystery around cats, right? Why are they the way they are? But at the end of the day, they always want their cat to be happy, and they're trying to understand their cat's behavior, and they want to know what they can do to make their cat happy or happier.
Oh, I love that. And do you have to see these people in person, or can you do it online?
I can do it online. I tune into them. I like to see a cat picture. I ask people to send me their cat pictures, just because it's easier to tune in through the eyes. When you see the cat, I just get an instant connection. Also because I love to see the cat pictures. And there's a bird sitting outside my window. I never have a bird sitting outside my window. That's so interesting. Do we have a connection with birds? Because I never have a bird sitting in that spot. And he's looking right at me. So interesting.
Two birds would always be spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like someone trying to let you know that they're there. Is it a cardinal or what kind of bird is it?
He's a red robin with a really red, big bird with a red, red belly.
Like the American cardinals, they have like supersized red robins over there, don't they? In the States.
Yes. So where was I? I just got really, he's still there. Interesting. Where was I?
We were just talking about how you help people and sending pictures so that you can work online.
Yes, absolutely. So it's easier to tune in. I like to see the pictures, but I can tune into your cat without having seen your cat. But yes, typically people send me pictures, they send me their questions, or we do a live session, or they come to one of my calls and I tune into their cat and let them know where the correlation is between them and their cat. Because usually the common cat problems that people have usually do not have to do with the cat, but they have to do with the human. And that's that purpose of the cat. The cat comes into our life to show us where we are not aligned. And typically the cat problem turns out to be the cat trying to tell the human, you are the one who's restless. You are the one who's, running around being all frantic. You are the one who's hiding from the world and not wanting to come out. You are the one who's fighting with your partner. You are the one who's not aligned. And that's what they're trying to tell us. And that's where my strong suit comes in. I instantly see the connection between cat and person. And then usually it's a big aha moment. Oh my God, I didn't know. And then when the person changes their behavior, or their mindset or their thinking, then the cat starts to stop the behavior, and then they have a happy cat. It really starts all with the person. Because all people want to have is they want to have a happy cat. They call me, they say, please help me make my cat happy. And then I talk to the cat and this cat says, my human isn't happy. Please tell my human to be happy. The human has to be happy. And then, it all falls in line. And when the human is happy, the cat's happy, usually.
Of course. It's almost like a parent and a child. But I did read that you said that we're not supposed to treat our cats as babies, that they don't like it. I beg your pardon, Sylvia. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk across you. But when we treat them like babies, does that manifest in bad behavior from them or?
No, they're so much more evolved than that. No, they don't want to be treated as babies because they're not. They're grown-ups. They are, unless it's a kitten, right, or a very young cat, but after a year or so, they're grown-ups. And you treat them like a baby, you're not giving them enough credit because you are, if you keep, they can do their job. If you keep thinking that they are these, these cute little beings and you have to feed them and you have to bathe them and you have to baby talk them, they cannot unfold their full potential because they are grown-ups, they have a job to do, they understand everything we say. And when we treat them as a baby, we are not giving them enough credit for the beautiful, wonderful, big souls that they are. And they usually don't mind, but they do mind. Some do mind it because they say, I'm so much more than what she gives me credit for. And I wish that she would awaken to the fact that I'm this huge soul and I'm here to help her on her path and to help her do her healings and to help her do, whatever it is that you do. And when we baby them, we don't give them credit. But that being said, some cats are quite humorous. And I've had a couple of cats tell me, when I worked, there was this lady and I worked with her cats, and she still, after all that work I did and after all that stuff I told her about how great her cats were and what they do for her, she would still baby talk them. And I didn't want to say anything, so I asked the cats, I said, do you mind that she still baby talks you after everything that you told her? And they said, oh, it's okay, she needs that. It's fine, she needs it. So basically they were bigger than she was. They said she needs it. It's okay. That's her thing. We need to be her babies. That's, she needs us to be her babies. So we're okay with it. But they spoke from here, from a higher perspective. They looked out at her saying, it's okay. She needs a baby. Yes, it's fine. We like that, we like that feat in her that she needs a baby. Yes. So they are so evolved. And that's why I don't like the baby talk, because we don't give them enough credit for who they are.
I'm just thinking here, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to keep talking baby talk to my male cat until he stops leaving animal kidneys on my doorstep. He brings animals back and eats them, you know, but they don't eat the kidney and the intestine because they're poisonous to them. And I said, I'm actually going to tell him now, I'm going to baby talk you until you stop leaving kidneys on my doorstep. Do you think that would work?
I don't know. It depends on how humorous he is or how willing he is. It's not that they don't understand us. They understand everything we say. It's just different from dogs. We tell a dog something and the dog will most likely do what we tell him because they're trained to do that, right? A cat understands what you want the cat to do. But if they don't want to do it, then they say, yeah, I know, but, you know, I'm not going to do it. So it's up to him. It's up to his discretion. Then again, he might be a muse, and the muses are the ones that inspire us to be all that. They are the ones that stand in their power as a cat. They will show their full force as a cat. They are not afraid to show their shadow side. So sometimes when the cat brings home all the gory stuff and the mice, they're showing you stand in your power, be who you are. You have a shadow side, embrace your shadow side. That's my shadow side. So that might be what he's showing you.
Wow, that is so interesting. I'm glad I mentioned that because that really makes sense to me. Because we say he's stubborn, but he is just standing in his own power. He really is, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my
goodness. So have you acknowledged that from now on? Sorry, tell him, you acknowledge that, you understand, and then he might stop doing it.
Yeah, hopefully. So. He's getting older now. He doesn't go out as much as he used to, but anytime he goes out, he'll bring back something. Just as if to say, I can still catch my own food. I don't need to eat the baby food you give me. There's so much in it. And I do want to mention to people too, because you mentioned it briefly earlier, that there are 10 different cat archetypes. Okay, and you're going to give a free download for this book of the 10 archetypes that people can download from your website. Okay, yes. So it's okay with you if I put the link to that in the description box attached here, so people can go to your website, sure. and download that. And if you can send me on, are you on social media, Instagram, Facebook, or anything? So if you send me on whatever links you have, I would put those too, because I know that so many people are going to have so many questions that I didn't think to ask today. But I mean, I just love this idea because I'm a numerologist as well, and I do numerology. And a lot of times, you know, when I'm looking at families, it comes out that, you know, a particular family member is here to guide another member of the family through this lifetime. But the thoughts that our animals are also connected in our soul family, and that they're doing that too. Like, when you actually think about it, it just makes so much sense, doesn't it? Because they're so connected with everything that we do. I mean, I know my cats can almost read the time. They know the time my son is due in from school. They know when my husband's due in from work. You know, they know the whole routine. They know. And the minute something is out of kilter, they're out of kilter. So, like, when you think about it, it just makes so much sense, you know?
They understand our world so much better than we think. And they understand us better than we know ourselves sometimes. They will know when we're stressed out before we know it. They will know when we're angry before we know it. They will know when we're not aligned with our path before we know it. So that's why they're giving us these signs. That's why they're changing the behavior to tell us we're not aligned. They know us better than we know ourselves. It's really fascinating.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Sylvie, I can't thank you enough for coming on to the show and telling us all about that, because, I mean, this has been so amazing for me. I've learned so much, and I definitely will be looking at some of your other work, you know, because, like, you know, I've had cats all my life and never really understood them. And I have to be honest, and I put my hand up, I've probably never taken the time to fully understand them. And I definitely will be doing that more. So guys, do check out Sylvie's website and download her book of the 10 cat archetypes, because if you're, and I'd imagine, I don't know now, I'm thinking out loud, but these archetypes, do they work for dogs, say, as well as cats, or is this specifically for cats?
So some of them work for dogs as well, like the healer, the energy worker, the lover, the joy bringer, the obvious ones, they work for dogs as well. Then there are some that are specific to cats, like the muse is specific to cats, stand in your power, what else? So there's two or three that are more specific to cats, but dogs fall in these categories as well. That being said, dogs have different jobs that cats don't. So dogs would have a couple of other categories added to them. But yes, you can absolutely tune in if it fits for your dog. Yeah, absolutely.
So you can use the main ones as well. Sylvie, thank you so much for joining us today. Guys, show Sylvie a little bit of love, definitely. And, you know, if you have any questions that I didn't think to ask Sylvie, please post them on my social media. I'll put them all together. And maybe in the future, Sylvie will come back and answer some of your questions, because that would be so interesting so that we can see how the animals, you know, work with us to help us and how we can also help them. I mean, if that's not too presumptuous of me to say, sure. Sylvie, but we'd love to have you back in the future to answer some questions for people. So, guys, thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of Life After Life. So until then, take care and stay safe. Discussing everything.